Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparo Valley Culture Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report again this morning. Paul Ramo at his usual spot at the control panel. And John Sherb is in the studio. And we have some track results, John.
Yes, we
All
do.
All right, fire away.
Yeah, we got over Monty That was Tuesday last week and wasn't the greatest. I mean, it was cool. Probably, you know, a little cooler you'd like to have it, but cool and south. You had to finish down the straightaway into the wind, so you kind of have that thought a little bit. You know, week before we had got a meet over there on Thursday, just a kind of a scrimmage with Monty and a couple other schools just to get a few events, and we did that. So it was nice. I thought our kids really handled themselves well. I liked what they did out there at the meet on Tuesday. Really good performances on the boys' side. Garrett Costed is our new one that came out this year. He was our top 100 man. He was 15th, time of 12.58. And then David Torgerson, another new one, 23rd at 13.58. And Gabe Lowry is 24th at 14.08. Just going to give like a top three in each event if there is a down, so I can keep moving through. 200-meter dash, Damian Torres was our top man there. He was 14th at 200 at 27.36. Gabe Lowry was 15th at 27.49, and then Dave Torgerson was 16th at 27.54. 400-meter dash, Tanner Callis was 10th at 1:00.92. 800-meter run, Gavin Carl was 6th at 2:19.70. 1,600-meter run, Gavin was 3rd, 5:14.54. And they got really, really tactical with handling the wind and everything else. They all of a sudden down the straightaway by the finish line, must have been the second lap. It looked like they were just like snails crawling down the straight because no one wanted to lead into the wind. And then finally someone took off. But that shows how tough the wind was with that. 110-meter hurdles, James Weber was 2nd overall, time at 18:23. Ethan Hersom, who is this his first time doing the 110s this year, he was 3rd at 18:49. Then in the 300 hurdles, James Weber was 2nd in there also at 43.87. Ethan Hersom was 4th, time at 47.04. 4x1, we've got enough boys. Last year we struggled. We either could do a 4x1 or 4x2. Well, this year we got a bunch of younger ones, 9th graders, sophomores also. Now we're able to actually run. We've got a 4x1 together and 4x2, so we put together a 4x1 team. Ran really well. I was very pleased with the way they handled the stick just because we haven't had a lot of reps with it. So that was really good how they handled it in the 4x1. They finished 4th overall with a time of 50.25. That was Gabe Lowry to Damian Torres to Tanner Callis to Garrett Costed. 4x2, they were 3rd, 141.29. They had a better handoff. They struggled with their handoffs when we did that scrimmage on that Thursday, and they kind of bounced back. We kept 3 out of the 4 together, and they looked very, very comfortable with it. We ended up with that was Ethan Hersom to Eli Hagelin to Keegan Wick to Brayson Boyk. Then in the 4x4, kind of put together what we had leftover bodies left to kind of put a 4x4 together. Put that one together. It was James Weber to Gavin Carl to Tanner Callis and to Keegan Wick. They were 5th with a time of 357.56. High jump, two really, really good high jumpers. Both of them were at the state meet last year. The gray kid from Canby and then also Boyk were both in the high jump. So it's good competition for those two to work off each other and kind of challenge, and it was good. They both went out at 6-1, but Brayson was 2nd overall because he had more misses than graded. So, but still, that's a good jump for as tough and cold the conditions in the wind were. So I was very pleased with that 6-1 mark on that. Eli Hagelin was 6th at 5'5". Then in the long jump, Brayson Boyk won the long jump. Nothing great. I think I know Ron said he had a 20-foot jump in, but scratched by about an inch, and that's a lot of timing, a lot with that, because that wind was at your back a little bit, so that affected him. You know, Brace is no short kid, and it's that length, those legs, and he gets moving, he gets off by a little bit, it will affect him. but he was second with 18 feet 10 and a half inches. Eli Hagelin was 16th at 16 feet 1 inch. Boys triple, Brayson won the triple with a jump of 41 feet 2 inches. Now, that's a really, really nice mark, too, for early on that. Well, it's not early because, you know, we're almost the end of April, but it still is early in the season mark. That's a nice one to have on meets. Eli Hagelin was second. 37 feet 7 3 quarters. Keegan Wick, and now this has got to be close to Keegan's personal best. He was 4th overall, it's 36 1 inch. And then Ethan Hersom, he was 6th at 35 6 and a half inches. It's all, again, just, you know, nice marks with them, just kind of those jumpings. You just don't know cold weather how those muscles are going to react. Boys shot put, Garrett Costed was 4th overall, 37 feet 4 and a half inches, and then Gabe Lauer was 16th at 29 feet and a half inch. Boys discus, we did not have anybody in the boys discus because they just weren't quite ready with technique, and so we held them out of that one. Paul thought it would be best just to kind of work on that for the following week. Boys in a finishing third, which very happy with that. With, you know, Monty's got so many more kids out than what we've got, so I thought we competed very well, and then Benson snipped us at the end. But Monty won at 161, Benson was second at 106, and then we were third, 103, and there was a total of 8 teams at the meet. So that was a boys, I was very, very pleased the way they handled themselves. You know, we're mixing and matching, we're moving kids around. We're going to meet next week. We're going to move some more kids around, try some events, and see where they're at that way. Girls, you know, we got a lot of girls, and mixing and matching, you know, we're putting 10 girls in the 100, 10 girls in the 200, so it's a lot of young, I mean, we're mixing young and old, and we've got some very talented 7th and 8th graders coming up, too, so it's kind of a good one with that one. Peyton Moe was our top finisher in the 100. She finished 2nd overall, 14.33. Then Bailey Bothan was 5th at 14.66. Sadie Hacker was 7th at 14.83. And then Morgan Hansen was 9th at 15.08. 200-meter dash, like I said, I'll do the same thing with the boys. I'm just going to list off a few of them just so we can keep moving. But then the girls, Maya Conroy looked very, very good. I've been around her enough years, I can read her pretty good when she's on or off. And I was a little worried. She didn't look real sharp. The cold was getting to her a little bit, but boy, she attacked that curve in that 200, and that could be a natural event for her, is that 200, just with what she's got for turnover. And she really showed up and really ran well for that. She won it with a time of 28.60. Peyton Moe was 5th overall at 30.25. Sadie Hacker was 9th at 30.73. And then Lexi Gleggy was in 11th at 31.38. Right behind her was Hannah Gochi in 12th at 31.42. Girls 400, Addie Tufto was 2nd overall, 107.39. Micaiah Poost was 5th overall, 109.54. And Annika Fernals was 7th at 110.83. 800-meter run, Taylor Wood won the 800-meter run, 248.70. Paisley Martinson was 4th at 256.87. And Chloe Gleggy was 5th at 257.74. And, you know, you notice some of those girls are moving up. Paisley Martinson's just a young 8th grader. We're just trying to get her in a rotation, and she looked very good with that. Chloe Gleggy was 6th in the mile. She was at 620.23, and then Reese Oxnover was 9th at 704. In the girls' 3,200-meter run, our young 7th grade girl, Brooklyn Sterwood, just to kind of, let's just say, just held her out and let her run the only race today, just a 7th grade, see how she can handle it. Looked very, very comfortable with it. You just don't know how a 7th grader is going to handle being all by herself with a lot of different girls. And the mentality, too, of having to do those 8 laps. And she, I thought she really, really stepped up nicely. She finished 5th with a 14.47. 110 hurdles. Calista Borman, again, had a very, very nice meet, and she won that with 18.70. Ayanna Hasta was 2nd at 18.84, and then Alyssa Olson was 10th at 21.73, and Ella Stock was 12th at 12.28. 300 hurdles, Ayanna Hasta was 5th at 57.15. And then Ella Stock was 9th at 101.94. Relays 4x1, Peyton Moe to Hannah Gochi to Morgan Hansen to Ayanna Hasted. They finished 2nd with a time of 56.83. 4x2 girls, that was Lexi Glegge to Addie Tufto to Bailey Botham to Maya Conroy. They were second at 2.63. 4x4, again, it's kind of like the 4x4, whoever left is standing. That's what we're going with the girls and the boys, who's left. And we pieced that one together again to get a 4x4 and thought, again, what I'd really like is these kids are willing to jump into events. You ask them to get an event and they pick each other up. It's nice. The three relay or four girls will work off each other, help each other get through. And that's that whole teamwork, which I'd like to see. We were second overall with a time of 4:52.78. And that was Taylor Wood to Paisley Martinson to Chloe Glegge to Micaiah Poose. Micaiah Poose had a great finish down the straightaway and caught two girls down the straightaway. And that was good to see her really attack like she did. 4x8 was third overall. That was Taylor Wood, Daytona Bissett, to Micaiah Poose, to Annika Fernals. And they ran 11:38.49. Girls high jump, Ion Hasted was third overall at 4'8". Other girls in the high jump, Reese McCoy was ninth at 4'4". And Costa Borman was 11th at 4'4". Long jump, Costa Borman had a really nice long jump in there. She was second overall, went 14'5¾". And then Addie Doctor was 14th at 11'1". And then Reese McCoy was 15th at 11'1" also. Triple jump, Costa Borman was third overall at 30'1¼". And then Reese McCoy was 12th at 25'02". Shot, Paige Meyer was fourth at 28 feet. And then Isabel Long Henry was fifth at 26.8, and Haley Anderson was also in fifth at 26.8, and Mikey Ann Elias was she was in ninth at 23.09. Girls discus, Paige Meyer was second overall, 89'2", and then Isabel Long Henry was 11th at 61.2½, and Mikey Elias was 17th at 57.08. Scoring for the girls, we ended up winning the team scoring on that. Canby didn't have a lot of, they're the ones that were chasing in the conference, and they didn't spread. They had some kids not in vents where they usually do it, so they left a lot of openings where they'll score some points. But you still got to like the way our girls competed and went after things and did very well. We ended up winning it with 160 points. Canby was second at 156, and then Benson was third at 128.5. West Central at 90, again with 8 teams competing. So I thought the kids really, really prepared themselves mentally, gave themselves a chance for the tough conditions. I mean, our girls were in, it was cold and everything else at the last 3-4 races, and they were still focused. They were still ready to go in there. You could see some of the other kids from other schools were just kind of, let's just get this over with. And that's, again, that's what we got to have. But again, that's one meet. We can't just focus on having a good one. We're going to keep working to get better, and that's what kind of we're hoping to do.
Yep. This up and coming week,
we were supposed to have a meet Thursday at Grant this last Thursday. That got pushed to this coming Thursday. So we were actually going to have, we actually had an open week this week, or we were going to try to get a home meet in our place this week. But since they moved that, that makes it easy. We're not going to add another meeting, because right now I don't really want to get two meets in the week at all possible, because we do need to get some training, because we really haven't done any good real workouts on the track. So that early week this week will be nice to get some training. So we're just at Granite. I believe that's a 4:30 start, and so that'll be a good one there.
Yeah, and I don't want to put a hex on anything, but I think the weather is going to be a little better. Finally. Knock on wood.
Finally. It's taken to get that door to open. It just couldn't get the thing cranked open, so it's good. Hopefully it'll be better.
Okay. Thanks, John. John Sherb on Boys and Girls Track. Darby Biergon's in the studio. We'll be talking baseball after this.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Check out the specials this week at the Country Butcher in Dawson. This week, all frozen meat in the West Wall Freezer is 25% off, includes ribeyes, flat irons, and other steaks. Orders for flat iron steaks will be taken. All other items are available while supplies last. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday, by appointment. They do slaughtering on Mondays. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Back here at the studio, talking baseball now, and we had three games scheduled, but we were able to get one game in, and that'll push some of these other games that we've lost to later on in the season, and maybe not non-conference ones, who knows, between our conference and like Hancock Conference. Conference comes first, I guess, but we'll find out. But anyway, on Tuesday night, you had a home game, and didn't look so good to begin with, but boy, the kids never gave up, and boy, a great fifth inning for the Eagles, and came out with a win.
Yeah, you know, it started out pretty slow for us, and we got down right away, but that we had a really big bottom of the sixth and turned around and shut them down in the seventh and came away with a win.
Yeah, so let's go through the game.
Sure. So we were pretty slow on the bats there to begin with. We didn't really score a run until the fourth, and before that, TMB had put up four in the second, one in the fourth, and one in the fifth, so they were up 6-0. Shouldn't say that. They were up 5-2 at the end of four because we scored two in the fourth off of Peyton Rademacher's double. Or, you know, he started us off and we got a little life off of that. So, and then they scored one more in the fifth to go 6-2. And then we had our big sixth inning. So it started off, Braden Van Zeezen started that inning for us, and he reached on a walk. He had three walks in the night, which was big. Anytime you can get on base, those are quality at-bats. Doesn't matter if it's a hit or anything. So he got on, and we had one out but scored 6 runs with one out, and it was highlighted with Dylan Geiser's clearing, I believe it was a
bases clearing
double. I think it one hopped the fence. I was too busy watching the guys getting them running around the bases and stuff like that. But I think it one hopped the fence. I thought it was gone off the bat, but the wind knocked it down quite a bit. So, but he loaded up really well on that thing and just put a good swing on the ball. And yeah, it was fun and exciting and got a little juice going for the guys and stuff like that. So, and following that, Molden walked, and then Caden Mortensen had a RBI single, which gave us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think it was the fifth run in that inning. I got to count them up here quick. Sorry, Dick. And we just kept kind of rolling off of that. The guys kept putting the ball in play, which we were struggling with early. Even putting the ball in play put the pressure on them to make some plays. They threw a few balls around, stuff like that. And we put up a few runs there in the sixth to finish the game with 8 runs in the sixth to finish the game 10-6. So, pretty exciting sixth inning. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of guys rounding the bases. A lot of excitement from the dugout that wasn't there necessarily early in the game. But as we talked about after the game, is we've done that twice now where we've gone down early and we've come back and won the game. So we've proven that we can do that. We just can't keep our heads down and walk away with a loss. We just keep battling and do what we can to get back into the game.
That's right, and if you can just put the bat on the ball, you never know what's going to happen. They did throw it around a little bit, and you do have some speed on the base paths that challenge their arm, and in that case, they hurried their throws and threw them wild.
Yep, that's right, and we talked about that after the game, too, is that we are being aggressive on the base paths, which we've wanted to do all year. Mm-hmm. There are times that maybe we're a little bit too aggressive, and we should have maybe been thrown out, but again, that's the situation where put the pressure on the defense, and if they make the play, they make the play, but if not, it helps us, and we might even scratch something else out after that, another maybe fumble or missed error or something like that on the other team. So,
and speaking of defense, Tracy pulled out a couple double plays, but you ended the game with a double play.
We Josh Benson and I were talking about that after the game, is how many double plays have we seen in the last how many years, and we ended one. It was nice to have ourselves end the game with a double play. So nice ground ball hit over to Cale Benson and turned it to Dylan Geiser at second and got the guy by a full step over at first base, and the guys were excited about that afterwards. So
let's go through some of the hitting and then the pitching.
Sure, I'll start out with our offense. Dylan Kimek started at the leadoff for us this game because Davis Patzer was injured. And he didn't have a hit, but he scored once, and he walked twice. So getting on the bases for Dylan, that's what we expect out of our leadoff. Dylan Geiser was 1-for-2 with that double, a run scored, and the big three RBIs. He also walked twice. Caden Molden is still swinging a hot bat. He's batting 1,000 on the year. He has not been out since he's been at the plate. He was 2-for-2 with a run scored, a hit by pitch, and a walk. So he was on base the other two times there, too. Caden Mortensen was 1-for-4 with a run and an RBI. Ethan Schomer had a run scored with 3 at-bats. He also walked once. It's nice to get his speed. He's got really good speed for us, so it's nice to get him on the base paths. Cale Benson scored once. Bryn Denzeason, as I said, he walked 3 times, scored 2 runs, so any way that you can get on is a big one. Peyton Rademacher had a big day for us. He was 2-for-3 with 2 runs scored and an RBI, and Tygan Allpress got the start out in left field because TJ Mitchell was hurt for us, and he got an at-bat with a walk and some stolen bases, stuff like that, and Landon Weber got his first at-bats. Unfortunately, he put the ball in play, but he didn't get a hit out of it, but he put the ball in play, and that's like we say, you know, put the pressure on the defense. So
that's right, and yep. You were able to utilize your bench a little bit too, pinch hitting and pinch running, and get people involved.
Right on. So we've had a few injuries now on the team, and now we're going to have to just kind of move and shuffle our defense around, and we talk about that, about you have to be able to play more than one position, and we have quite a few guys that can do that, which really helps us out, and we're going to start using everybody to get through the games and do what we can do to get a win. So pitching, we started Joseph Ramsbacher on the mound. We had a little troubles with control. He pitched an inning and a third. Yeah, gave up 1 hit, but he gave up 6 walks, 4 runs, and 2 earned. Brock Biernield came in. He threw 2 2/3. He had 2 walks, 2 strikeouts, 5 hits, 2 runs, and 2 earned. And then Caden Mortensen finished it for us, and he got the win out of the game. He threw really well for us this timeout. Not that he didn't last time, but he looked a lot more solid and confident on the mound this game against TMB. He got the win. He went 3 innings. He had 2 walks, 2 strikeouts, no runs, no hits, and no errors. He did hit one guy, and I think he was maybe up in the count on that one, 2-0-2 or something like that, and he tried to go inside on the guy. But he finished the game. He picked a guy off at first that got him out of a jam also, which was a big deal. So he's learning how to throw strikes. As a staff, we're still trying to get our pitchers to get the walks down a little bit. We're still a little high in the walks. There's this stat that I follow a lot. It's called the WHIP. It's walks, hits in your innings pitched, and we're just around 3. So we're giving up, between hits and walks, we're giving up 3 per inning, and that's just a little bit high for what we want.
Yeah. Okay. JV got to play 3 innings.
JV got to play 3 innings. I think they finished that game winning 7-1.
Okay.
So they put up some numbers on the board in 3 innings, which was exciting. You know, there's good athletes down there. We have talked to some of the players down there that we want to get you innings. We want to get you at bats. We want you to get innings pitched and stuff like that. So that's the best spot right now, because later in the year we might say, hey, we need you. Yeah. And then now you have that experience of being at the plate and being on the mound. So it's good for them to get as many innings as they can. Unfortunately, the lights aren't hooked up yet. Nothing they can do about it. Nothing we can do about it. But as soon as they get that hooked up or another field to play on, we should get more than 3 innings at a time.
Yeah, well, your games this week, both stadiums have lights, so the weather permitting of rain or whatever, they should be able to get a full game in.
Yeah, we go Tuesday to McRae, and we have a 4:30 start, and I believe their JV field is just outside of the varsity field in Raymond, so hopefully we can play a JV game and varsity game at the same time. And then on Friday we go to Granite Falls, play YME at 4:30, and they usually have 2 teams. I haven't heard yet where they're at, but hopefully we can get a JV game there also. So hopefully the field down in Granite Falls isn't underwater, because it's right next to the river. I guess I haven't checked with their coach or anything like that, but that's always kind of a worry. I know that field's been underwater before when the water gets too high.
Yeah, well, if nothing else, then move it to Madison.
That would be, so, I would not be against bringing it back home, right. Another home game.
And then, of course, the junior high is chomping at the bit. They probably have only had a practice or two and good numbers there, and there's some talent down in that those two grades.
Yeah, so they had a few practices. I think they got outside a little bit. You know, I actually worked with them last night. We had a quick hit with varsity, and then the junior high took over the gym, and we said we need to get these guys some work. So I got to work with them quite a bit and run them through the same drills and stuff inside that we did with varsity. And yeah, there's good athletes down there and guys that love baseball. So Brian Moen's doing a good job with them at the junior high, and we appreciate what he's doing. And hopefully the guys, when they get outside, their arms are going to be loose and ready to go and pick it up and play ball right away.
Okay. Anything else?
I think that's all we got. We were supposed to have two other games this week, but they got postponed. I don't have the dates on those yet. I know the Hancock game, since it's non-conference that you mentioned, may not be made up. We're not sure yet. The other game was RCW, and right now it looks like that only date that is open is May 9th, which is the home game against Morris, possibly. But since Morris isn't a conference game, we might be knocking out that Morris game and replacing it with the RCW game. But that's not for sure yet.
Yeah, that's been postponed twice now.
Right, so yep.
You got to get those conference games in.
Correct.
Darby Biergun on baseball. We'll take this break and have more of the Culture Show after this.
Everybody's invited to participate in the Earth Day celebration this weekend. Kickoff in Madison will be at the Grand Theater on Saturday at 1 p.m. There will be a bee, bat, and birdhouse giveaway, and Mayor Greg Thole will be on hand to read an Earth Day proclamation. At 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, the Madison Chamber sponsoring the free movie, Dr. Seuss The Lorax, and that's at 2, open to young and old alike. And then Sunday, the first ever Clean Earth, Green Earth 5K Run Walk. Registration starts at 1 p.m. The Run Walk starts at 2 over at Grand Park, next to the Grand Theater. They do have a limited number of t-shirts on hand, door prizes and refreshments for all registrants, and the cost is just $15 to register for the 5K run and walk on Sunday. On Sunday, April 23rd, Pioneer Postcards presents The Art of Everyday Living. Pioneer PBS and the Milan Village Art School invite you to a free screening event at 2 p.m. on Sunday at Madison Mercantile on the south end of Madison's Main Street. See the episode featuring Scandinavian folk art expert Fred Livesey, who takes us on a journey to discover the healing art of craft and the meditative connection between head, hands, and heart. This event includes a live carving demonstration by Fred and refreshments with the Postcards team. RSVP to pioneer.org or call 800-726-3178. In that event coming up at Madison Mercantile on Sunday this weekend.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Back here at the radio station, now talking with Scott Swatsky on girls softball, and you were able to get in a doubleheader this past week, Scott. And
we were.
Good results.
Yeah, no, the girls played really well. Got out after technically being outside for one practice, so got our game in against McCray. And the girls really, I expect them to perform well. We've got some great athletes, but they really even exceeded my expectations. I was very proud of them.
Good. So let's talk about the doubleheader.
All right, sounds good. Well, our first game, we had Taylor Shelstead. She's our senior and senior captain that we'll likely be saddling up with and kind of riding along through most of the season here. She's a phenomenal talent. She threw five innings. We ended up 10 running McCray. Threw five innings, gave up one hit, one run. It was an earned run. I had four strikeouts and three walks, and I thought she really did an outstanding job. Threw 73 pitches in that game and really, really baffled their hitters. She's working hard on her changeup, and so we made some girls look silly, which always brings a smile to her face because that hard work pays off and just a big confidence builder for her. But I think, you know, we really swung the bats well. We had 14 hits. our leading hitters. Kendall Shelstead was 2-for-4. Ayanna Gibson was 2-for-3. She had 3 RBIs. Brandy Meyer was 2-for-4 with an RBI. Jalen Lee was 2-for-3 with 2 RBIs. Maddie Matthews was 2-for-3 with an RBI. Actually, everybody on the team had a hit. So that was pretty cool. We had 1 error, so defensively that was a big deal. You know, what we talk about is we feel like we're athletic enough and we're going to swing the bats well enough, our pitching strong enough. So the big thing is defensively, can we limit mistakes? And we did an outstanding job of that. We're starting sophomores across the infield right now. So many of them, this is their second year of softball experience because they weren't out in junior high, but the sophomore group is very athletic. So we've got Kendall Shelstead at third base, Brandy Meyer at shortstop. In this first game, Val Piotr started at second, and then Jalen Lee is our first baseman. So a lot of action, and they handled things really well. So all of the reps that we've taken in practice, all of the preparation for situational things, I was just very proud of them. So they definitely showed up and proved that they belong in this first game. So
okay.
Then we moved on to the second game and really jumped out to a big lead. We were up 13-0 after 3 innings. We were getting ready to start subbing some kids in, some of our JV kids, to get the opportunity. But it was an unfortunate deal. McCray, there was some miscommunication, so McCray did not bring their JV team along. And so our JV kids were able to be in the dugout for this first game. But so we jumped out to a nice 13-0 lead through 3 innings, scored 3 in the first, then 3 again in the second, and then had a big 7-run third inning. And some of the leaders in that game were Taylor Shelstead was 2-for-3, scoring 3 times. Riley Lund was 3-for-4, scoring twice. Riley is seeing the ball. I think it looks like a watermelon floating in there right now. They were our 2 leading hitters, and then Ayanna Gibson had a hit for us and 3 RBIs. Cameron Lee had a hit for us. She was 1-for-4 with 2 RBIs, and then Jalen Lee was 1-for-3, but she scored 4 times. So anyway, we ended up scoring a total of 16 runs, and the one probably blip on the radar was the 4th inning. I think Taylor was getting a little tired. It's the first game. She's going to throw, in all likelihood, both ends of a doubleheader, and so she had a few walks that inning and a hit batter, but other than that one inning, she was dominating throughout the night. So, we ended up walking away with I think that technically the score is 16-7. The score was 16-8, but we did not finish the 6th inning due to we had to call it short because of daylight.
Okay.
And so technically that the run that McCray scored in the 6th inning would not count.
Okay.
So, yeah. Two W's, so we started the season off at 2-0.
Yeah, and maybe talk about the pitching there in softball. Very commonly, if you have an ace, that the ace will throw both games. And unlike baseball, there's a pitch count and everything else. But and you're a former pitcher yourself, but you know that the stress on the shoulder and the elbow especially is not so great in softball versus baseball.
For sure. Yeah, and that's something that I've, you know, been able to learn along the way, having had a kid that's gone through it. And then going to watch the state tournament last year was a great learning experience for me. And you're right, Dick. It's when you have a horse, like I said, you saddle up and ride. And that's what we saw at the state tournament pretty much at every level. I think maybe once you get up into AAA and 4A, you might see some teams with multiple pitchers. But for the most part, in A and AA, you see those girls throwing as many innings as you can. And we have that this year. You know, we have Taylor. She's going to lead the show for us. It's a much more natural movement in softball pitching, just because your arm, your shoulder, everything is designed to have that circular movement, whereas baseball, there is a lot of pressure on your shoulder and your elbow, and so it's different dynamics. So we are fortunate in that degree, but I will say Taylor was tired, you know, the next day. So I think it was a good thing to have a day off, a couple days off. So now we'll get into some games where it's just we're playing teams in the South, part of the conference, because this is new for us this year. Last year it was all doubleheaders, but as coaches we decided that the opposite sides of the conference would only play each other in one seven-inning game. And the purpose for that is so that we can see some other teams in non-conference play, including section opponents, where we'd really like to get a look at some people before we get into section play and maybe go in with a little bit different strategy.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, but, you know, after you mentioned not having a JV game, and after building that big lead, then you got some of these reserves or the JV team in there. Let's talk about them a little bit. We've got a little
time.
Well, we
did. So we were prepared to get everybody some time, but we got up, like I said, 13-0 through three. So we got Kayla Jan was able to get in. She's going to get a crack at second base here coming up as well. She's an athletic young lady. We got Zoe Doctor was in for an at bat, and she was walked. And I think we ended up ending the inning there. We had one of our other girls, a couple of our other girls that didn't play in the first inning, finish out the inning. And so then we got into the top of the fourth, and McCray scored seven runs.
Oh.
And so all of a sudden the score was 13-7. And all of the girls that I had prepped in terms of where they were going to get in at bat, we had to back off on that because the lead had dispersed a little bit, so we needed to make some adjustments. So
okay.
we were not able to get as many JV girls in as I had hoped.
Okay. So you do have a re-entry rule then?
We do. Yep.
Like baseball, if you're a starter,
very much
you
like
could
baseball.
Yeah.
Yep. So we get to throw a sub in for a player, you know, one time, and then we're allowed to re-enter that player back into the game.
Okay. Well, you mentioned a busy week coming up with the South, and let's preview what teams you're going to see this week and the locations.
Right. Yep. So Tuesday we're at home on the 25th against YME, and that's a South. That's going to be a South Conference school. So that'll be a seven-inning game. Not sure exactly what they're bringing back, and I haven't seen many scores on them yet this year. On Thursday, we travel down south to Tracy to take on TMB. Carl typically has a pretty salty team, athletic and competitive. I know that they lost some key players last year, so I'm not sure what they're all bringing back. I have seen a couple scores on them this year, and maybe not what we're expecting out of TMB, but we know that we're going to have to show up and be ready to go, just because they've always got good athletes down there. Then Friday's a really big game, and I'm hoping that we can get into that one healthy and fresh. That's RTR down at Tyler, another seven-inning game.
Okay.
And they have a really tough pitcher and catcher combo that were there last year. They gave us some significant challenges last year, actually beat us once. Was one of our four last losses last year. But we're really excited to get down there and to play everybody, but to really lock horns with who we think is going to be one of the teams that is comparable to us.
Okay.
And so we'll see how the week goes, but hopefully we can get after it. Hopefully the bats stay hot and we can limit walks. You know, throw those first strikes, just like baseball. That's an important part of the game. Get ahead in the count, and then just make the plays in the field.
And we also have to hope that the weather holds, and that not only can you get the games in, but then between the games, you can get a good practice in.
Right. Yeah, I am hoping that Mother Nature finds a heart here at some point.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I don't know if the golf teams have had any activities other than going out and hitting some balls on a dry fairway, it'll perk up here pretty soon, and we'll have a good spring ahead of us. So
yeah.
Well,
no.
Anything else, Scott?
Well, I know you guys do a great job of advertising our home run sponsors, but I'd just like to go down
sure.
our list real quick and say thank you to them for there are big financial sponsors of our Dugout Club of $500 or more. So I'd like to thank all of our sponsors, but our home run sponsors include Ludvigson Tiling, Cargill, Zarbuck Funeral and Cremation Service, Holloway Rod and Gun Club, Fernholz Concrete, Clement Electric, Meyer Farms, Piatter Construction, Trigestead Pioneer Seeds, Prairie Sun Bank in Marietta, the Dreyer Doctors, Martinson Foundation, Mike and Deanne Munsterman Family, Borstead Rock and Excavation, Q92 FM Radio, and Madison Chiropractic. We really appreciate the support, and you know our facilities are continuing the training supplies that we're getting for these kids are becoming state of the art because of this support. I mean, just the things that we have in the loop are really exciting. So really appreciate everybody's support with our Dugout Club.
And any organization or business opportunity, if they would like to join that group, what do they have to do?
Yeah, they can just reach out to me, Scott Swatsky, and my email is on our school website, www.lkpb.org. They can give me a call at 752-4807. Any support is appreciated. And these girls, they work their tails off, and so they deserve everything that they can get. And it helps with summer tournaments. It helps with our summer umpires, so we can get these girls games and experience. It helps with supplies like pitching machines, catcher's equipment, just so we can bats. Our budget's pretty small, so we want to make sure that these girls have really good quality stuff. And so we really appreciate that.
Okay. Well, thanks for the talk this morning. Best of luck in those three seven-inning games this past week, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Can't wait. Thanks for the coverage, and thanks, everyone, for listening.
Okay. That's Scott Swatsky on softball. We'll get on the phone here be talking boys tennis after this.
Check out the specials this week at the Country Butcher in Dawson. This week, all frozen meat in the West Wall Freezer is 25% off. Includes ribeyes, flat irons, and other steaks. Orders for flat iron steaks will be taken. All other items are available while supplies last. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. Stop by, ride downtown, or give them a call, 320-769-2238. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday, by appointment. They do slaughtering on Mondays. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. They're a cut above the rest. Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years. If you like high school sports, you'll love the Camden Recap. It's a new all-sports weekly newspaper covering the schools of the Camden Conference, covering 13 school districts comprised of dozens of communities. From RTR to Ortonville, TMB to KMS, Lac Parle Valley to RCW, Dawson Boyd to Canby, everywhere in between, they've got your Camden Conference sports covered. For advertising and subscriptions, email advertising@camdenrecap.com or call 320-297-1461. That's 320-297-1461 for the Camden Recap.
Whether a lazy weekend spent up north enjoying Minnesota lake life, finding your favorite Juicy Lucy, or attending a music festival in the city, discovering bands that become the soundtrack of your summer. It is these precious, fleeting moments experienced together that shape us and make us who we are. Plan your dream vacation at exploreminnesota.com. Sponsored by Explore Minnesota Tourism. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Back here talking boys tennis with Austin Ireland, and you know, I guess we had you on the preseason part, but you finally got a match in, so let's hear all about it, Austin.
Thank you. Well, you know, you go outside and you still think it's preseason. But no, hopefully we're in full swing here. We got our first match in on Tuesday. We went up to Minnewaska, and, you know, a lot of you guys know about tennis. Minnewaska tennis is solid. You know, they won our conference, you know, their past, I don't know how many years. They went state last year in their section, you know, their non-section opponent. So that's a good thing. But they lost a few seniors last year, but, you know, they just kind of reload. We ended up losing to them 6-1. I'm just going to go through the scores here.
Sure.
Number one singles, Jackson Buehr. He's one of our seniors. He took on Connor Quell, ended up losing 6-1, 6-0. You know, our first match of the year, you know, and Jackson kind of finds some consistency and, you know, really, really work it. And, you know, I think that's good. You know, that was a good tough opponent right away. And, you know, they had five matches in, and that was our first one. And then at number two singles, we had Gavin Stoltz. He fell to Tenzin Dahl, 6-1, 6-2. Started off pretty good in that second set, you know, and had a miss. There was a call where, you know, the guy called it out, and had a little dispute on, you know, a little miscommunication, and you know, Gavin was up 40-15, and then ended up kind of letting that get into his head, and you know, that's one thing you gotta adapt, and ended up dropping that second set 6-2. At number three singles, Matt Martinson, younger senior. Took on Noah Palmer, ended up losing to him 6-1, 6-0. You know, Matt struggled with the serve a little bit right away. And, you know, another thing was, you know, just like I said, consistency and being patient. I think our top three guys got to be a lot more patient and find their niche. You know, trying to go for too much right away. And a lot of tennis, it's, you know, you can't create those errors. You know, it's a lot of unforced errors on our part, and we got to clean things up and just be a little more patient. At fourth singles, we had Luke Stock. He picked up the win for us. He played on Tate Wazowski, excuse me. Beat him 6-1, 2-6, 11-9. You know, started off pretty well, you know, at 6-1, first set, second set. The, you know, kid adjusted, but, you know, ended up taking it in that third set tiebreaker, 11-9. One thing he did well was he more aggressive. You know, he attacked, moved up towards the court and making that kid try to lob him and stuff, so... You know, really being aggressive at the net and putting shots away. That's something, a big change from last year, you know. That's where he played last year, was that four spot. And, you know, it's good to have see some growth on that end. Doubles end, we kind of got a lot of new doubles players. You know, we had half our team was about out there with at Robotics Nationals in Houston. And one, you know, Nate Gruhl was a great player for us. Hopefully we can get him this year. He fractured his foot. But our number one doubles team, we had Gunnar Olsen, he's a sophomore, and Brody Boffin, you know, two athletic young men. Gunnar played two and three for us last year. They lost a couple of LeClaire and Beck, 6-1, 6-0. They just got to get in their rhythm, you know, figure things out. You know, Brody put on an exhibition doubles for us last year. So hopefully those guys can grow together. And like I said, they're big, tall, strong, athletic kids, so hopefully they can adapt pretty quickly. At number two, we had Tony Reap and Mitchell Myers. Those guys are an exhibition. Mitchell kind of broke his foot last year, so we didn't get a whole lot of court time last year. But they ended up losing 6-2, 6-3 to Marshall Kemp and Leonard Schiffler. You know, those guys, too, we've got to work on court positioning a lot, too. A lot of times when you play exhibition, you know, you're, the way you stand on the court isn't as important so much as where you hit the ball, and now we're trying to figure that out. We were open at third doubles. But we did have Darren Kranz here from Madison there. He played a couple exhibition matches. He ended up losing to Tate Hansen 6-0 and James Nitsch 6-1. But, yeah, he's a good kid. He came out later in the year. He's starting to get the hang of it. He's starting to hit the ball well, but we just got to work on moving our feet more and getting to those balls. So yeah, that was a 6-1 loss to Minnewaska. But anytime you get 1 point off them, you know, they had a great program. Tara has been there since I played, so that tells you quite a bit. But they're the favorites to win the conference. They've already beaten a couple of conference opponents.
Right. And the unique thing about tennis, both boys and girls, you're in the West Central Conference. There is no Camden Conference for tennis.
That's right. Yep.
So a little better quality of athletes.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's a good, tough competition there.
So
we take on a couple of them this week. Actually, Tuesday we take on the Yellow Messini Sting.
Okay.
Of course, Jeff Long. They got a pretty good squad, but they're young yet. That one should be, you know, we got to take care of business for that one. You know, we really got to do our thing and just improve. I got a top number one singles player, and, you know, down the line, they're still green yet, so hopefully we can capitalize on that. And then we go to Benson on Thursday. Benson's they're a tough team. In the northern part, they're, you know, one of the top teams of the conference, but they lost to Minnewaska 6-1 as well. So, you know, we got to bring our A game there and see what happens.
Okay.
And they're also, you know, both those teams are in a section.
Okay.
So for seeding wise, it'll be nice to see what we can do against them guys. And hopefully too, you know, we got some guys should be coming back on Tuesday from Houston. You know, it's kind of a special deal. They go down to robotics and
offers
just waiting for that. You know what I mean?
Okay. Then the final one this next week, final match.
Oh yeah, that's Bentham. Yep. So we played Tuesday we played Grant Wyoming. And yep. Then Thursday we play Benson.
Oh, just those two. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, well, best of luck. And like everything else, it's early in the season, so you're looking for improvement and get some good practice days in and watch the improvement in the matches. So best of luck with those two, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Okay, that's Austin Ireland on Boys Tennis. We'll have more of the Coach's Show after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Rodney Rye at Rye's Nursery and Tree Service, located 2 miles east of Porter on Highway 68, says he may be tired, but he's not retired. They'll still do tree moving for you, your trees or their trees. They grow trees up to 9 inches diameter, so stop down and take a look, pick out the one you like. That's Rye's Nursery and Tree Service, 2 miles east of Porter. Rodney Rye still going strong down there. Give a call, 507-296-4488. That's 507-296-4488. Or call Rodney Rye on his cell phone, 507-829-4614. That's 507-829-4614.
Back here at the Coach's Show, we got five of the seven coaches had events this past week. The only thing is boys and girls golf did not, but hopefully by this time next week they will, and we will start our Coach's Show next week at 8:30 to get those all in. Well, to finish out the show, I don't have any Dick Newman sick jokes, but I do have a couple of life hacks, they're called. They're things that have happened that you might not know about and can learn from it. First off, running your bacon under cold water before cooking it will reduce shrinking up to 50%. I didn't know that. And finally, 9 foods that get rid of an upset stomach include bananas, ginger, plain yogurt, applesauce, oatmeal, white rice, and tea and chicken broth. So didn't know that either. So thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
This is KLQP, Madison Dawson. Time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.